America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
The Agile Brand.
Welcome to the Delighted Customers Podcast, now part of the Agile Brand Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mark Slayton, and I am so glad you're here. I empower leaders to delight their customers, and I talk to guests with a wide range of expertise who share meaningful insights, wisdom, and practical tips that you can use immediately. I'm also excited to announce the Trusted Guide Roadmap Masterclass for CX leaders who struggle with executive buy-in and are ready to go beyond CX fundamentals. The masterclass gives you proven frameworks and takes you step by step through a four-step model that will move you past the frustration of not getting your work done. It's unique because it's live, interpersonal, hands-on, and we give you tools and templates to help you build your CX roadmap. To learn more, visit empoweredcx.com. That's empoweredcx.com. And now, on to the show. Well, I am so excited to welcome my guest today on the Delighted Customers Podcast, Nicholas Z. Zeisler. And he is a customer experience strategist and fractional CXO. Nick helps his clients' companies identify gaps in their brand promise delivery and adjust, update, improve internal processes, systems, and policies to ensure customers have the best experience every time they interact with them. He is a 30-year Air Force veteran and currently serves at the U.S. Air Force Academy as a statistics professor and is also a professor of practice in Michigan State University's First in the Nation Master of Science degree program in customer experience management, along with me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mark, as delighted as I am, you'll know that that latter part there, they'd let anybody do that, right? So
yeah, any of us can get in. And so, Nick, welcome to the show.
It's an honor. Thanks.
Yeah. So I am excited for a couple of reasons. One is you sound better than any guest I've ever had, and I'm up to almost 80 episodes here. And then I'm like, Nick, why you don't have your own podcast?
No,
right? And so today I finally said, why do you sound so good? And he said, I used to be a DJ on a radio station. So say more about that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was several lifetimes ago. Yeah, I had a day part. I was the overnight guy at what we at the time called Oldies radio station in Fort Collins, Colorado, where I was going to college. And so I had a full-time job and finishing up my bachelor's. It was a trajectory, actually. For a while, I was expecting that was the job that I was going to get. Air Force called, and I went in the Air Force instead, so. It's all is history. But by the way, if anybody listening here is needing any voiceover work, I still do that. It's the side gig to my side gig. Sure.
And as we were talking today, you're basically giving him a demo.
That's right. Yeah. This could be you.
So this is me going off script a little bit. I always wondered how DJs somehow end up running up on the song, right on the through the instrumentals, right, and they know to cut off right before the vocals start. How does that even work?
Yeah, it's called hitting the post, actually, is a term for it.
Oh.
And it comes with a lot of practice. And I know a lot of my former fellow colleagues would absolutely cheat. And they would say what they wanted to say, record it, like, say, for example, there's a song playing and there's stuff going on in the background. And they would go offline, record the stuff that they wanted to say. Hey, you know, here's the weather's coming up, blah, 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 blah. And here's Beyonce. And then they would time it, because every song, we know exactly what, and it was called the ramp time is. If, this is, if you have 8 seconds, you just do a little arithmetic in your head. Ah, there you go. There's the math. And you'd start, you know, talking so that, or you start your recording so that it'll end right at the beginning of the song. When you think of somebody like Casey Kasem, who had a show, you know, national show, he probably never heard any of the songs that he ever played. He was like, and now we're up to number 17 on the countdown this week. And he would talk and do his little thing. And then he had engineers that would do, again, that arithmetic so that boom, right away. You know, and here's Richard Marx with number 22.
You see, that sounds just like him.
Yeah, well, that was one of my little deals that I used to do. Like, nobody even knows who Casey Kasem is these days.
I know. You're aging yourself.
That's right. Well, I can do that the whole rest of the day if you want.
Well, first, before we go into the topic here, which I can't wait to get into, is first, thanks for your service in the United States military.
It's an honor. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned a big chunk of that wasn't just was actually training others.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened, but as a reservist, a lot of times you fall just ask backwards into somebody needs something and then they bring you in. Do you have time? Do you have bandwidth? Can you come help us with this? And I had done 9 years active duty. I'd been in the reserves, you know, like got out of the reserve or got out of the active duty, went and got a corporate job and had been in the reserves for just a few years. And I was talking with buddies down at my unit down in Colorado Springs where I was stationed. And they said, hey, you ever think about teaching at the Air Force Academy? Like, well, that wasn't on my list of things to do today necessarily, but sure. And next thing you know, I mean, it's been 18 years that I've been doing that, which is just astonishing to me that I ever made it in the first place. And that here all this time later, I'm still doing it.
And what was the, if you don't mind, what was the coursework? And then what are you teaching now at MSU?
Yeah, I was teaching at the Academy and still teach to this day, calculus and statistics. Did a little of advanced statistics with design of experiment and so forth as well down there. And then you talk about MSU, another one of these out of the blue, somebody, Tom DeWitt, our mutual friend, calls, says, hey, Z, you want to come teach here? Well, okay. Talk about scraping the bottom, I guess. But, you know, I've been doing CX for several years by then. And I think probably it had something to do with my academic, you know, history and experience as an assistant professor at the Air Force Academy. And so now I'm also teaching a course for MSU, as you had said, in process engineering. I teach a course about Lean Six Sigma and the traditional approach to that being how do we prioritize our efforts and how do we want to improve the processes and systems and things that we do in our business that will save us money, save us time, you know, reduce waste, reduce issues and defects in our processes and internal systems. And then we, part of the way through the course, take a drastic change in how that skill set is typically leveraged in business. And we say, well, let's think about that from the customer's perspective. If we were to look at the same, say, pot of potential projects, if we were to say, look at that portfolio, we could do this, 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 and this. Traditionally, in the process engineering realm, what you do is you say, well, which one of these projects would give us the greatest bang for the buck? Each one of these is going to take a certain amount of effort to accomplish, but at the end, when this is done, each one of them will save us this for resources, this for headcount, this for, you know, waste or spoilage or something like that. This is a different way of looking at that same potential, you know, a list of projects. Say, well, which one of these is going to have the greatest return from the customer's perspective? Mm. Which one of these is going to drive customer loyalty the most? Which one of these is going to address the most frequent, the most painful experience that our customers are having? So when people talk about my approach and my discipline for CX, sometimes I start to describe it. It's like, well, it's kind of an operational thing. We're trying to improve customers' experiences by way of looking at our internal systems and processes and policies and so forth. What can we adjust? What can we change? What can we improve? And I start to get down the road and people say, you know what, Z, that sounds a lot like what we used to call BPI or business process improvement or continuous process improvement. And I said, well, I'm not really trying to get away with anything. Pull back the curtain. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's taking a different approach to it in the sense that we're prioritizing based on how it impacts the customer.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there are companies that have BPI departments or sub-departments. And I think in an ideal world, you have CX and BPI linked, right? Synced up.
Yeah, right? That's the key to my getting clients for sure.
And so one of the things you and I had talked about in the past was this idea of alignment with brand promise. And brand promise, you know, is essentially the promise a brand or a company makes to its customers, whether it is explicit or implicit, right? You've got a brand promise that they have a certain expectation about who you are, where you are, whether you like it or not. That is your brand promise, right?
Yeah, hopefully it's deliberate, sure, but yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully it's really close to the one you desire.
Yeah.
But, and I've heard one of the definitions of CX is, you know, aligning your execution or delivery of the experience with the brand promise. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how you view this, and is it, you know, to what extent is it critical, and to what extent is there a gap in the brand and the CX delivery or the CX alignment with the brand promise?
Yeah, I'd say, Mark, you nailed it right there anyway. I had worked for a long, long time. You'll notice I'm kind of a loquacious guy. Figure out how to describe what it is that I do and how I approach CX with fewer words. And in so doing, it comes down to that brand alignment. And in fact, that's part in my book, I even invented, if you will, a new KPI, which is the brand alignment score. When you think about VOC, you're asking questions of your customers and surveys and so forth, and none of them necessarily have to do with any sort of strategic purpose that you have for having a CX organization. So I thought, you know, let's think about, you know, we do that Simon Sinek. Why are you even quote unquote doing CX as the saying goes? Like, well, it should be so that you're doing a better job of delivering. And I found myself in the presence of a lot of marketing experts, because what I found was that is the other side of the coin of what it is that we do in the CX world. We're following, I should say, the lead of marketers a lot. I talked to CMOs. They spent all this time, their teams spent all this energy building this perfect brand. Here's what it is. And I'm not just talking fonts and color palettes and, you know, where we're going to advertise. It's about like mission and vision and purpose. I mean, it's North Star type stuff. And then I talk to them and they're like, you know, I spend my time sitting at the oak table with my colleagues in the C-suite and like, you know what? Our job here in marketing would be a lot easier if you idiots would actually deliver on what it is that we're telling the world we're all about. And so a really good friend who's a CMO, she said, Z, here's what it is. We do brand promise. You and me, Mark, we in CX, we do brand delivery. And that was the distillation of it. If you've got a strong brand and something that you're marketing to the world that you're all about, and if your operations teams, if all of the support teams, if everything going on in your organization isn't aligned to that, so much so that when your customers interact with you, they're like, yeah, I could see how you say that you're ease of use, but you're not. Mm-hmm. I see how you want to tell the world that you're the luxury brand, but this was not a luxury experience. That's an opportunity. That's a gap, as you describe it so well, Mark, to say, all right, we need to take a look internally at how our systems and processes are failing to deliver on whatever that brand is. And it's different for every company, even within the same industry, because each company is going to have their own unique brand promise.
So let me just double tap on something you just said, because I think part of my role is to identify the gems when I have a guest on.
And, well, keep digging.
No, I've found some gold here, and I think it is. marketing says we do brand promise, and CX, and they say you do brand delivery.
Yeah,
that's something to think about as a way to describe what is CX, especially for people outside of CX. It's a great way to simplify and make it relatable to what we do. Now, before we get into the how of how we do that, I want you to talk about the implications for people, because it may be obvious, it may not be obvious. What happens when there's that gap?
You lose customers. You lose revenue opportunities. You didn't say in diplomacy that having an election doesn't make you a representative, you know, form of government. It's having that second election that makes you a representative form of government. And in the same sense, somebody buys something from you or orders your services, doesn't make that person a customer. It's when they come back again that makes that person a customer of yours. You can get that first sale with great salespeople. And if what you're delivering doesn't line up, I mean, those customers are going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the course that I teach, which is customer relationship management. And we talk about this life cycle of a customer. Mm-hmm. So they go from purchase to service to loyal to all the way to advocacy.
Yeah.
And so that's very true, is like because they purchased once doesn't mean there's any degree of loyalty. Even if they buy from you again, there may be a whole bunch of reasons why they buy from you. But for example, if someone came along with a better price or opened a store closer, or you had the simplest little error, that's not real loyalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, here, give you another example. You've got a car dealership. And most car dealerships are parts of groups. And, you know, that group owns several dealerships with different brands of cars.
Exactly.
They've got the Toyotas and they've got the Nissans, they've got the Fords, and then they've got BMW and Mercedes as well. Well, to what degree do they consider those experiences need to align with the brand promise of the actual product they're selling? Mm. You go to Bob's dealership.
Yeah.
And if he owns a Ford and he also owns a BMW dealership, those customers are going to expect different experiences when they go to both of those, right?
Yeah.
So you go to Bob's BMW dealership and it's not a luxury experience. Well, you're going to go across town to Fred's BMW dealership, perhaps for your next. So in a situation like that, where it's such a large purchase, that's the question that these brands have to ask themselves. Are we getting that customer's second purchase, third purchase, kids purchase, and so forth? And if they're not, it's a great idea to look at your processes and systems. It's like, this is where we're not delivering on the brand promise that we're offering.
Yeah. In that, I guess, in part of that avenue to get to the where is the process broken is understanding the customer's journey. And the feedback, right, you're getting, you're hearing, what are you hearing? What are the common themes that you're hearing? And where is this thing? What are they saying? Because we can look at ourselves and there's a lot of good data you can get from your own customer service department, for example. Yeah. Good. But also, like, there's a lot of things probably that aren't functioning 100% within an organization. Wouldn't you want to start with the customer's feedback?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, the funny thing about it is, and it's funny in a tragic way, I guess, is that people are doing VOC all the time. You know, I mean, with your class and your CRM and you know, are they loyal and are they advocates?
Yeah.
I know you're gonna sing the praises of NPS and how great that sort of thing is. But the problem is that a lot of people are doing, and this isn't just to give NPS or even CSAT or brand alignment score, my score, a hard time. It's just that those KPIs, those top level numbers, are often done simply because, well, that's what we're supposed to do. Well, we've got to find out what our customers are saying about us. So it's like, okay, yeah, your customers are saying that. They drive past your place, roll down the window and say, hey, you suck. Okay, there's your customer feedback. But what can you do with that feedback? What are you going to do about it? Because if all you're doing is just reporting it, all you're doing is making yourself aware of where you are in your NPS, you're spending a lot of time on your VOC, but you're not spending a lot of time with your VOC. And it's got to be geared towards action. And it's got to be geared towards how can we drive the loyalty if we're talking about NPS, or the advocacy if we're talking about NPS, or the satisfaction if we're talking about CSAT, or the alignment if we're talking about brand alignment score. So you have to dig deeper into just beyond just that KPI. And that can be done with surveys. If you're curious and if you write the questions on your surveys in order to elicit feedback that'll help you take action. Hey, you know, we're striving to be the highest quality in the market. Can you help us identify ways in which our quality is suffering? What are your experiences, right? But it doesn't even need to be surveys. I mean, you don't even need to trouble your customers. You walk in your customer's shoes, be your own customer, right? For that matter, and you had alluded to this just a minute ago, Mark, go down to the contact center and say, let me take a look at these trouble tickets. Let me take a look at why people are calling, why they're DMing, why they're sending us emails. Why are they contacting us? What are the issues our customers are having? You do some root cause analysis on that. Not only are you, by the way, again, this goes back to the heart of the BPI and the process engineering. You're going to save resources because you're not taking all those calls all day long if you fix the root cause of that. But then even more importantly, you're going to drive top line improvements because your customers are going to recognize, oh, you're doing a better job. I'm going to come back. I'm going to buy this again. I'm going to partake of your service from your brand because you're taking action on the feedback that you're getting.
Yeah. So I want to double click on a couple more gems there that you shared, and it may be obvious. It may not be so obvious. So, you know, one is don't just gather feedback. A lot of times, especially in the early maturity stages of a CX journey for a CX leader, is they get enamored with getting data and now finally being able to benchmark it. Yep. Benchmark it against their industry, benchmark it against previous data that they have finally. As I remember the first time ours cycled through, I was like, oh, we're 2 points better than last year. And you know what? The C-suite was like, yeah, so? Like, yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. I'm not ready to throw you a party yet. Yeah. And so make the insights going in should be, what am I going to make actionable coming out of this? So design either your survey or however you're going to get the information. Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about, well, we don't need to do surveys. We can get it all through AI. That debate's a separate conversation, a longer conversation. But yeah, so you pointed out a couple of things, because I was hoping we would get to, okay, what are we going to do when we find a gap between our CX alignment and our brand alignment? And you said a couple of things. One, you know, design surveys and feedback so that you can make what you do actionable, and then go work on fixing the problem. So what other things can leaders do to improve once they discover there's a gap?
Well, they've got to put their money where their mouth is. And it's not just cash, it's resources and attention as well. There's a big chunk of my framework that has to do with culture. And that gets kind of a short shrift a lot of times, because like, okay, well, culture, we'll put up a banner, right? We'll have a CX day thing in October or whatnot. We'll run some people through a certification program. We'll send people to Michigan State University to get a master's science degree in customer experience management. Naturally, something like that would be brilliant. But people see what you do when you're in the leadership. People see what you pay attention to. There's the old saying that what gets measured gets managed, and that's true too. But I like to lean on the old saying that, you know, what you do speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And when your organization hears you say, our customers are number one to us, our customers are very important to us, they see you redraw the org chart with your customers on the top and the CEO down at the bottom, you know, this inverted pyramid thing. That's great. But when they see you prioritizing the things that you have your BPI team doing based on a Pareto chart of how pissed off your customers are, or how frequent a certain issue is, or how that issue is driving customers away from your brand, people are going to recognize that that's the priority that you have, right? So it's about walking that talk. It's about asking the questions about those gaps, those misalignment problems. It's not leaving it to the CX group to do that. It's engaging with them directly and deliberately asking follow-up questions, saying, very importantly, what's next? Because in that same sense that you're not really doing continuous process improvement unless you do it the second time, right? Mm. So it's like, okay, we found this last quarter as a problem our customers are having. We identified this as a huge gap. We fixed it. And now this quarter, we're going after this, what was the second most common problem, right? So people see that and they see you walking the talk, and that speaks a lot more than the banners and the t-shirts and the mouse pads that say, you know, we heart the customer.
Yeah. So another gem I'm going to pull out of here, what you just shared, is this improvement that we're talking about is not an event.
Yeah.
The improvement we're talking about is systematic, holistic, systematic change. It becomes part of the culture, embedding this transformation process into the culture. So it's just the way we work.
Absolutely. It's institutionalized. 100%, Mark. You know, there's another saying. There's all sorts of cheesy sayings in process engineering. And one of them is, if you think you're done improving, well, you probably are.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
There's your soundbite, Mark. There's your soundbite.
Yeah. That's probably be at the top of the show.
And it's all downhill from there.
So this is good stuff. Well, what did we, when we think about this, what did we not cover that you think leaders, whether they're CX leaders or business leadership, should know about this very idea of improving the process to deliver business, delight customers, but ultimately, and for the purpose of improving the business metrics, whether it be revenue growth or cost reduction, lower cost to serve, lower attrition. What should we talk about that we didn't?
I don't know that it's necessarily something we haven't talked about, Mark, but I would just say to emphasize, because I can't pound this, you know, point quite enough, is that, like Simon Sinek says, you know, you've got to know why you're doing anything in the first place. And if your North Star, if your brand promise is to be whatever it is, the discount brand, the luxury brand, the high-tech brand, the highest quality brand, the concierge white glove service brand, whatever it is, the entire customer journey needs to reflect that. And a lot of people will give, for example, like the product group or the engineers, the nerds down in the lab, a hard time. Ah, they're never listening to the customer. They never think about the customer. I found that's not necessarily the case. You know where I find a lot of brands are suffering is if a customer wants to order something from you that's kind of off the menu, it's slightly different from what you usually offer. What's it like to go through the legal department to get that approved? Mm. You could deliver your brand promise perfectly with the product that you offer or the service that you deliver, but what's it like getting billed by you? Is it easy to understand the invoice? Can I pay online? Do I get a receipt immediately when I have paid? These are not traditional operational things. These are not the sorts of things that you might necessarily think of when you think of CX, but it is part of that customer journey. And these support operations have to be part of that enterprise-wide, end-to-end improvement alignment journey that your brand is going on. It's got to be about every time the customer interacts with your brand, is that representing your brand promise?
So, such a good point that you just brought up. It reminds me of the restaurant example where you go to this 4-star restaurant and you're able to park close. You get seated right away. The waiter is fabulous, gives you great ideas, suggestions. You order comes on a timely basis. The food is terrific and you get dessert. Dessert's terrific. Everybody's happy. And you're on your way to see a show and you're waiting for the check. And the waiter is gone because he already gave you the check, or he gave you the bill. You're waiting for your credit card.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're stuck. You have to wait. And so it goes from like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
To it starts dropping and dropping to the point where now you're aggravated.
Yeah.
And you leave saying I might never come back.
Yeah, that's a great example, Mark. Yeah, absolutely. It's the entire journey. And there's so many different parts and pieces of it, right? If you're listening, if you're asking with the intent to identify action you can take, you're more likely to come up with those opportunities and you're more likely to nail that, right? If you're that restaurant, you think, oh no, waiter's very attentive, sat down right away. The food was spectacular. The recommendations, the wine pairing was perfect. Those are all parts of what you would expect, right? But that's not the entire experience. What you're describing is a gap.
Yeah. And it doesn't show up on an income statement or a balance sheet. If you did survey your customers, you might hear that. Mm-hmm. But it is a great example of why the work that you do is so important, and that what you teach at MSU in particular is so important. And I'm so grateful. We got to land the plane here, but I want to ask you one last question, which is, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Well, this actually, Mark, is something that I'm asked every year teaching cadets at the Air Force Academy. I look at a lot of my 20-year-old selves out there, and it is something that honestly has really served my career, both in the military, both in academia, also in the corporate world and as a consultant. And that is, say yes as much as you possibly can to opportunities. There is not, for example, a business leader out there who is doing so well with you know, revenue and making hand over fist money that he or she can afford to give you, Mark, an opportunity to screw stuff up so badly just so that he can have, you know, a laugh at your expense. When people come to you with an opportunity, when people come to you with, hey, you want to try this, they think that you can do it, or at least that it's within you to do it. So seize those moments. Say yes when somebody comes up to you with an opportunity, and you have no idea where it's going to end up. I mean, you and I are talking here even before we started about the time that I've been in the service, and that somehow or another, I'm a professor of practice at Michigan State University. None of that stuff would have happened if I hadn't said, yeah, sure, I could do that. Let's give it a shot, you know?
Yeah. What a great, great piece of advice. Say yes.
Say yes.
Say yes. Well, thank you so much. If listeners would like to get a hold of you to reach out for any reason, what would be the best way for them to get a hold?
LinkedIn is great. Imagine you put a link in the show notes there. My website is ZeislerConsulting.com, which you can also get off of LinkedIn. Publishing, writing articles there all the time. I'm on everybody's podcast will have me.
Excellent. And I'm so glad I had you on the show. Thank you so much, Z.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You got it.
Thanks for listening to the Delighted Customers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode or any of my other ones, hit subscribe or follow. I've got a lot of other great guests that are coming up and a lot of other great content. I don't want you to miss anything. You can find any links or references on the show in the show notes, and you can find those at my website at empoweredcx.com. That's empoweredcx.com. Also, make sure to check out the other shows in the Agile Brand Podcast Network by going to www.agilebrandguide.com. The Delighted Customers Podcast with Mark Slayton is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content.
The Agile Brand.